Awesome. Everyone feeling nice and cool today? Oh, it's truly tropic, isn't it? It's amazing. So good to be here this morning and spend some time in prayer today. There is so much need, isn't there? But our God is greater. Our God is stronger. And our God has already won the ultimate victory. He holds the keys of sin and death in his hand. And he has overcome the grave. Hallelujah. We are on the winning side this morning. So this morning we are talking about run your race, as has been said by Will. And I've been kind of, obviously, we've been going through a lot of sports situations in the kind of backlog of COVID. Everything has kind of not happened, and now it's a flurry of activities. And obviously we had a bit of a highlight with women's football, the women winning all the women are like, woo! The men are like, oh, one day, not just the first time. We will win it again. But we just had Commonwealth Games. It was the 22nd Commonwealth Games, and it was held in Birmingham, as you know. And I'm just going to do a little bit of trivia this morning. I wonder if anyone could tell me how many nations currently in the Commonwealth. Anyway, any hands up if you know. Wow, no one. Close, 56, very close. So if there's 56, how many teams participate in the Commonwealth Games? You would think 56, wouldn't you? It's not. It's actually 72. Not sure why. It's because Britain are very greedy and we want four. We separate, you know. But yeah, there's many people. Commonwealth Games. Do you know what it used to be called? What was it originally called when it first started? Any ideas? The Empire Games. It was the British Empire Games. I think we had to make sure the British was in there. We've kind of slowly eroded that word British, haven't we? It's now just the Commonwealth Games. And I wonder if anyone can guess how many medals have been won in the Commonwealth Games up to this point. Is it 8,000? Is it 10,000? Is it 12,000? Or is it 15,000? Any guesses? It's 10,000 plus, just shy of 12,000 medals that have been won recently. And this time, we very proudly did, I think England did very well. They won 176 medals, of which 57 were gold. Come on. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. I know it's not us, but it's good to celebrate, isn't it? But I was watching some of the Commonwealth Games. I just switched it on, and I was watching particularly the 4x400 women's relay race. And that was an intense race. I don't know, who watched that race? Anyone here? Yeah, and if you didn't, it was intense. It was, they were running their leg on the first two legs. The ladies were running, and it was almost neck and neck. But the third lady came up, and her name was Emma Pippi. And she was fast, like she was super fast. Like she was running and she was making serious head gain. That she gave her next opponent, she handed on to the next lady, and the next lady had such an advantage. She was placed in such a great place. And so the next lady, Jessie, comes into place and she's running and she starts to lose a little bit of steam. But as she gets there, she's neck and neck now with the Australians and she lunges forward to get the win. And there's that moment where she's lunged forward and everyone's like, did she win? Didn't she win? And you're like looking and everyone's looking at the board and they're just not sure whether she's won. But sure enough, by a hundredth of a second, she'd won the race. She'd won the race that she set out for. And as I watched, I was just thinking about how each and every one of us are called to win our races. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. 1 Corinthians 9 says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. We are all called to run our race this morning, and in our lives, it's, this life we live is a race. And this morning, we're particularly going to look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And as I've been thinking about this, I've been thinking about the fact that we are actually 3/4 of the way through running our vision race this year. We are over halfway of running this year. Each and every one of us are over halfway. And I wondered how we're doing with our race this year. How are we doing with maybe New Year's resolutions? How are you doing this year with your New Year's resolutions? Have you managed to continue to run the race? But there's a whole lot of happening, isn't it, right now, that is sometimes making a race a bit challenging. We've obviously just gone through COVID. We have Ukraine still lingering. The cost of living is going up. Government is changing and is shifting. It's like shifting sands. And it's so easy to be worried and concerned in the race that we run. And it's so easy to let the pace of life and the concerns of life slow us down in our race that we must run for the Lord God Almighty. So how are we meant to run the race this morning? I have 5 points and I'm going to try and be nice and quick so we're not here too late. But the first one is see who surrounds you. Nice and simple. I'm going to keep them nice and simple this morning. But see who surrounds you. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Paul here is saying, therefore what? Well, therefore, in light of chapter 11. In chapter 11, he mentions over between about 18 heroes of the faith that have run their race well, that finished the faith well. And they are surrounding us like a cloud of witnesses. Just like in an amphitheater when you have people cheering people on, there is that sense in which those heroes of the faith are cheering us on. They're spurring us on in our race today. They're encouraging us to run our race. And I actually loved, Shirley, what you said this morning, because you actually said something which was so important. That yes, we need to think about those heroes in the faith, but this morning we need to think about who is surrounding us today. And you brought a word and you said that you felt God was saying, who are we being a helping hand to? And that this morning is my question to you. Who is our helping hand? Who is surrounding us to run the race? We are to look to those who've gone before us. We are to look to those who are the example of the way to run. But I wonder this morning, if you stopped and you took a moment, who is surrounding you? You know, in the Birmingham Alexander Stadium, there was over 18,000 people would be able to meet together to spur on the runners. That was a record number. But not only do we have the heroes of the faith this morning, we have probably, what is there, about 50, 60 people in church today that we are surrounded with, that are journeying with us, that are there to help us and spur us on in our walk. I want you just to kind of nudge the person next to you and say, "I'm surrounding you." And then elbow the next person and say, "I'm surrounding you." Oh, I don't see any elbows. I think people are too sticky to elbow. It's probably. I just saw Megan's elbow stick to the next person. Maybe you should say, "I'm sticking to you" instead. But we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We are so blessed to be in a church body where we have people that have gone before us and that are running with us on our race today. We are so blessed. And if you don't feel that you're blessed yet, you must know that we are surrounded by 59% of the UK population who call themselves Christians and are carrying on the baton. That amasses to 39.78 million people that are running their race for God today. And in the world today, out of over 7 billion people, 2.3 billion people are running their race together. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. But what does the word witness mean? Well, it actually means to, it doesn't actually mean that they're going to be there necessarily applauding you, but it actually means they are bearing witness. They are someone who's showing you the way. They've lived their lives. They've shown you the right way to go. And as a result, we can learn and we can glean from one another. This morning, I wonder who you are learning from. Who are you allowing to speak into your life? Who are you allowing to help run you along that race? Is your example of running the race well? It's so easy to kind of look at the world and see what's going on around us, but we must be inspired by men and women of faith. We must be inspired to run our race. Why? Because as the Amplified Version says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. Those who have run the race before us, each and every one of us must testify of the faithfulness of God. I love my parents and they're amazing, also very crazy. Yesterday we went to Longleat and it was a bit of a gong show in some respects. They don't always, you know, parents don't always do what they're told, I found out. But that's another matter. But my mum is always telling us that their ceiling is our floor. And I wonder this morning, does that apply to you? If those who've gone before you, is their ceiling your floor? Because we are standing on the shoulders of giants today. We have the ability to go much further than those before us. We are going to have the ability to do so much more because of those people that have gone before us. They are witnesses of a life well lived. They are witnesses of God's faithfulness and his goodness. And you can probably tell I'm not a marathon runner. Carl is probably more of a marathon runner than I am. You're about to do the, which run? The Spartan. That's not even a marathon run. That's a run for those that need a bit of prayer. So that's like another level. But, you know, I've been told that in a marathon run, I'm not a runner, but I've been told that in a marathon, it's always good to find someone who can be a pace setter. It's always good to find someone who can help you keep your pace so that when you're lagging in your race, you have someone who will run with you, who will keep spurring you on, keep running with you. And when you're running too fast, we'll actually say, wait, slow down, keep the pace, keep the pace. Am I right? You're nodding your head. You've done a bit of running in your time. But that's how we should live in our lives today. We need to be surrounding ourselves with people that will be our pace setters, people that will show us the way, people that will say, follow me as I follow. No matter how much we mess up, we must continue to run our race. So secondly, we look to strip off what hinders you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, in the early days of the ancient world, they used to do the Olympics. And when it came to their running, they used to wear these big robes. And that's why I've called it stripped off, because they would literally strip off. They would literally take off the thing and they would be running au naturel. They would be running free, but they would be running fast. And this morning, that is the picture. I don't want you to picture that, but I want you to picture the fact that we are to be a people that strip off all that hinders, all that keeps us from being what God has called us to be. I wonder this morning, what is that for you? Sometimes we instantly think, oh, it's got to be a sin. It's got to be something that I'm sinning. But actually, sometimes things that hinder us can be those things that are actually perfectly okay, perfectly good. It's okay to enjoy a hobby. It's okay to watch a sport. It's okay to have family and friends, whatever it might be. But is it a hindrance for you running your race without any restriction? The ancient days, they took off their robes in order to be free. And I wonder, what is the thing that we need to be freed from? It says, some versions say lay aside, some say strip off, and some say cast off. And that word just means the weight means something. It almost actually means a tumor or a swelling or a growth that is weighing you down. And someone talked, I think you talked about how Jesus takes the burdens from us and he takes the weights away from us. I wonder this morning, what is the weight which is weighing you down? What is the weight which actually just feels like it doesn't matter how much you run, it just keeps getting in the way. It keeps tripping you up. You know, as Will said this morning, Joshua had a little bit of an accident when we were in Jersey. When we were in Jersey, we were trying to have as much fun as a family, and so we decided to go to Amazing Adventure World, or whatever it's called. And it was epic. It was great. There was activities, so many activities for the kids. But there was this indoor play, and it was just amazing. They had actually closed one slide because it was too dangerous. It was literally like a vertical drop. I was like, I'm sure there was many kids dead on that slide. But I took Joshua down the safer slide, I thought. However, it wasn't necessarily the safest slide. As we were going down, he was on my lap, and we went down once. Super. He loved it. He was giggling. Went down twice. Super. He loved it. Third time's a charm, though, isn't it? You go down, and as we're going down, the poor little chap gets his leg caught on the slide, and I just hear a "Kuh!" And we're like, okay, I think we're leaving. We go to A&E, and we're told, oh, no, he's fine. It's just a sprain, nothing to worry about. So the poor little chap has been walking around, crawling around for the last 2 weeks, not knowing until Thursday this week that he actually has a fracture just below his knee. They called us and said, oh, sorry, our bad. We missed something, just something. By the way, your son has actually fractured his leg. Okay, so as we can see now, he has a plaster. And that is a perfectly good thing because actually it's helping him to heal. But what I've learned about Joshua is watching him learn to live with the cast. Bless him. He loves crawling and he loves pulling himself up on, but it's really funny to watch. I know that's really bad, but it's really bad. He was crawling and just like one leg, his leg would just slip out from him and he would just go face floor on the floor. It's terrible that I laugh at that. The things dads laugh at, and as he stands, he's learnt to stand on one toe because he can't put his foot down because he knows that it will just slip out from him. But that's a good thing, but it hinders him. It hinders him from being free to run his race. And I'm not saying we get rid of casts because they're very important. Bear that in mind. But what I'm saying is there something that actually you've learned to live with? You've learned to stay on your tiptoe. You've learned to crawl in a certain way because actually that makes life easier. Instead of dealing with the issue, it's just easier to tiptoe on a tiptoe. But actually God's telling you, cast it off. Strip it off. Let you run your race. That nothing may hinder you and keep you back. So that is the next one, that we must run. We must strip off what hinders. So first, we must see who surrounds us. Secondly, we must strip off what hinders. As it says, a winning athlete does not choose between the good and the bad. He chooses between the better and the best. This morning, we need to choose between the better and the best in order to win our prize that God has before us. And thirdly, we must stick to your lane. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The NLT says, let us run with endurance the race set before us. God has set a race out for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have our own individual journeys. We all have our own individual races. We are not to be doing anyone else's race this morning. We have been chosen. It's not been given to us by our family and friends. It's not been given to us by our careers or anything else. God has chosen each and every one of us to run our races independently. And it is time today to focus on our race. You know, I shared this morning about, or just earlier, about that race where the 4x400 meter race where the ladies were running and they won the gold. They were celebrating. They were overjoyed. There was great celebration. They were jumping with the flags. And yet, they stepped outside of their lane. And sadly, they were disqualified. So often we can be under the pressure of running someone else's race. One of the hardest things I think for society today is the life of comparison. We all, my wife is forever telling me, stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing yourself. And I'm probably the only one here that does it. But comparison is one, does only one or two things. It either puffs you up and it makes you feel proud because you're doing better than someone, or it makes you insecure and it makes you feel bad and you start to complain. We're not called to run someone else's race. I want you to know, you're not called to run my race. I'm not called to run your race this morning. We have all been chosen by God. We've been given our lane, and all we have to do is run our race. Stick to our lane. Thankfully, we will never be disqualified as they were disqualified, because God doesn't disqualify us. But we will run our race much more effectively. We will run our race much more bringing glory to God if we stay on our lane this morning. Sometimes I think there's some people here this morning, you feel you've maybe veered off of your lane a little bit. You've been comparing yourself to others. You've been comparing yourself to the world, and you just begun to run someone else's race. I want to encourage you. God has said to you, run your race. When I was at school, my brother was three years before me, and he was very athletic. He was a very capable boy. And as I came into the school, it was an all-boys school, so, you know, lads being quite competitive, it is quite a competitive place. And so my brother was a good rugby player. He was a good athlete. And so when I came into the school, I was known as Lakey's brother. And I was like, yes. That's what everyone wants to be known as, someone's brother, isn't it? And so during school and during PA, I used to dread PE, because my PE teacher said, right, you are going to be a hooker because your brother was a hooker in the rugby scrum. So I used to go into the scrum just dreading every moment of my life. And sure enough, it didn't take long before my PE teacher realized that I was a terrible sportsman. I wasn't the best at rugby. I wasn't the best at athletics, but I was okay at football. But I wasn't like my brother. But for so long, I tried to keep my PE teacher happy. I tried to even keep my RE teacher happy. Imagine, I used to really not be very good at a religious education. But Lord help me. But you know, I always used to try and make sure that I was keeping them happy, because they were keeping me accountable according to what my brother had achieved and expecting me to achieve the same. And after about 3 or 4 years, I just got tired and I actually wanted to leave the school. We actually tried to apply to change school. And God didn't let me move school. He kept me in that school. And so I had to make a conscious decision. Instead of running my brother's race, I had to run my race. Once I started to run my race, I started to win the prize. Okay, I won the French prize, but it was actually my dad that won the French prize. But that's neither here nor there. But the fact of the matter is, when you find your lane, when you know what God has got before you, you win the prize that is set before you. You don't win anyone else's prize, because you're sticking to your lane. You're sticking to what God has given you to do. He's marked out, as it says, he's marked out, he's set out cones on the lanes before you, just as in a marathon run, the cones are marked out so that you may follow it. But he's asking you to follow your race, not someone else's. Because when we run our race, that's when we're running in the grace and the power and the anointing of the Lord God Almighty. When we step out of that, we step into our own authority. But when we stick in our race, we run our race according to his power. So we see who surrounds us, we strip off what hinders, and we stick to our lane. we stay steady. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance. The words here in endurance and perseverance, it comes from the Greek hupome, something like that. And it doesn't actually mean patience that sits and accepts, but it talks about a patience and endurance which masters the situation. We are called to be a people that are mastering our situations, overcoming the situations we face. And you might be before me this morning and say, you know what? Life is really not easy. I'm full of worry. I'm full of hard, just trial after trial, worry after worry. I've got people that are sick all around me. I've got issues. I've got financial challenges. I don't know what you're facing in your race today. But God is asking you to run with patience. Run with endurance. Keep on running. So what does that mean this morning? What does it mean to keep on running? Well, I've been told that in a race, when you run, and I'm sure you're going to meet that when you're doing your Spartan, there is a point where you hit your wall. Normally about halfway. Is that right? Well, oh, okay. You actually literally hit your wall in the Spartan. But when you're running your race, you hit a wall where actually you've realized, man, I've run halfway. Man, I've still got another halfway to go, and I just don't know I've got it in me. And you have a choice in that moment to either push through the wall or to give up. You have a choice to stop running or to keep on keeping on, to endure and to keep running towards the end of the prize. And I want to encourage you this morning that we are called to be people that keep on running. There's a poem out there called The Race, and it's attributed to D.H. Groberg. And it is talking about how a son is running his race and his father is on looking at him. But the boy just keeps slipping up. He just keeps falling down in his race. And there are parts in it where he's just not able to carry on. He feels like giving up. But there's a line that says, "But through the laughing crowd he searched and found his father's eyes with a steady look that said again, get up and win the prize." As we run with endurance this morning, we must be a people that get up and win the prize. And it carries on to say, "And to his dad he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me you won, his father said. You rose each time you fell. You rose each time you fell." I believe there are people here that feel like they've just fallen. They are tired of one obstacle after another. We're in a race. It might not, and it feels more like a hurdles. It feels more like a Spartan. It feels more like something that is just not what God has called me to do. And I want to tell you this morning, look to the Father and make sure that you rise every time you fall. So stay steady. Lastly, set your eyes on Jesus. "But through the laughing crowd he searched and found his father's face. With a steady look he said again, get up and win your race." That boy in the race looked to his father for encouragement. We are to be a people who set our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. I love that phrase, the author and the perfecter of our faith. when all else is shaking, when we are on sinking sand, when there doesn't seem to be the energy to push through that wall, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, everything else fades away. When our eyes are fixed on Jesus, he gives us the strength to continue to run the race which is marked out before us. He continues to enable us to carry on. It says, Spurgeon says, looking unto Jesus means life, light, guidance, encouragement, and joy. Never cease to look on him who ever looks on you. If we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the worship team can come up. If we strip off what hinders us, if we stick to our lane, and if we stay steady this morning, it means nothing if our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. Because he, in spite of the pain and the anguish that he faced on the cross, he overcame the cross, he overcame the grave. And the word says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy set before him was to be sat at the right hand of the Father in eternity. As we run our race this morning, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the joy set before us is one day getting to heaven and Jesus saying to you, Jesus saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant, you have run your race well. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I don't want to die yet, but I can't wait to meet Jesus face to face. Look full in his wonderful face. And I pray and I long that I stay in my lane for the rest of my days so that I can see Jesus face to face. And I can receive the prize of looking in his eyes and hearing those words, well done, my son. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning that we all are told to run our race with perseverance so that we may win the prize. It says in Philippians 3, verse 14, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This morning, don't give up. This morning, whatever you're facing, I'm so glad to hear that you're praising in the midst of your storm. Don't give up. Run your race and receive the prize which no earthly thing can steal or destroy. But Christ is enough for me.